I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager, Jonathan Pilevsky. The end of June marks the end of our fiscal year, and I'd like to thank everyone who pledged during this time to support WBJC. I thought it might be nice to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's call it 30 and 30. By the way, if you didn't make a pledge, you can still be a part of our fundraising efforts this fiscal year by going to WBJC.com. Handel's stature as one of the greatest composers of the Baroque Age in both vocal and instrumental music has always been recognized through the popularity of a few of his oratorios in English-speaking countries, and their acceptance as religious and even church music has long masked the true nature and extent of his genius. He was a cosmopolitan and eclectic artist, drawing impartially on German, Italian, French, and English traditions, a humanist in the broadest sense, and by training and inclination, primarily a composer for the theater. So wrote Grove's Dictionary of Music and Musicians, and they were right. We begin in 1685, an amazing year for music, the birth year of not just George Frederick Handel, but J.S. Bach and Domenico Scarlatti as well. Handel's origins are humble. His father was a court physician. Halle, the town where he grew up, was hardly the place to pursue musical greatness. His first journeys would take him to Hamburg, then Rome, and eventually London. He left Germany for Italy in 1706 and would spend 4 years in Europe's musical and, for that matter, cultural capital, Rome. We're not sure what made the composer write this setting of Psalm 110 or for what occasion it was intended, but we know he completed it by April of 1707. Handel seemed to focus on the glorious aspects of victory, and the music is full of virtuosity and light. While in Rome, Handel also had the occasion to meet and become acquainted with the excellent music of Arcangelo Corelli. Corelli's Opus 6, Concerti Grossi, had a profound effect on Handel's own excellent concerti he would later compose. Writes his first opera, Almira, at age 20. 5 years later, in 1710, Handel accepted a position as music director at the court of Hanover. The following year, he leaves for London to present his opera, Rinaldo. The London visit is so successful that he requests permission to return in 1712 and decides to remain there, abandoning the Hanoverians. Unfortunately, during this time when he's in London, illegally, Queen Anne dies. The new King of England is none other than his former employer, the Elector of Hanover, who becomes George I of England. Handel lays low for a little while, but eventually he and the King meet and are reconciled. Handel produced 36 operas in London between 1712 and 1741, among them Giulio Cesare, Ottone, and Tamerlano. On Wednesday, the 17th of July, 1717, in the evening, there occurred in London a royal event of great splendor. King George I and a large gathering of the English nobility boarded open barges on the Thames at Whitehall and sailed up the river to Chelsea, where they took supper. Such was the success of the evening that the party did not leave until 3 o'clock in the morning, the king arriving back at St. James Palace at about 4:30. One of the river barges was employed for the music, wherein were 50 of all sorts who played the finest symphonies composed for the occasion by Mr. Handel, which His Majesty liked so well that he caused it to be played over 3 times in going and returning. By 1727, Handel was no longer a German national living in England. George I, in one of his final acts, had appointed Handel composer of the Chapel Royal and had given him citizenship. The scene, Westminster Abbey, and the occasion, a grand occasion indeed, namely the coronation of King George II and his consort, Queen Caroline. Handel's work for the day was so spectacular that it remained in people's memory for many years. In fact, his setting of Zadok the Priest has been used for every coronation since. The bishops had a set of other texts that they wanted Handel to set instead of Zadok the Priest, implying that he was unfamiliar with Scripture. Handel replied to them in probably his finest German accent, "I have read my Bible very well, and I shall choose for myself." Long save the king! Long live the king! Long save the king! May the king live forever! Amen, 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 amen. Before we wrap up, some interesting things about Handel's Messiah. It was not written for Christmas, though there is no reason not to perform the work at that time. Of 20 oratorios that Handel wrote, it's the only one to deal with Christianity and use the New Testament. There is no explicit story or narrative, and it is an oratorio that has no characters. Finally, the work does not end with a hallelujah chorus. There's a whole and frankly exquisite third part, which ends with an amazing fugal amen. A quick postscript. Of the 7 soloists taking part in Messiah in Dublin, Mrs. Susanna Cibber was the most famous. She was the sister of Thomas Arne, composer of Rule Britannia, and best known as an actress. She had married an actor, but in 1738 was sued by him for divorce. This became the talk of the town, and even though she won the case, she suffered public humiliation and left London. Her performance of the aria, "He Was Despised," so filled with genuine personal feeling, so moved the audience on the first performance, that a Reverend Delaney stood up and shouted, "Woman, for this be all thy sins forgiven." I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polewski. Thanks for listening to today's 30 and 30. We'll be back tomorrow. If you'd like to contribute toward WBJC's musical efforts, you can go to WBJC.com. Yeah.